Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Cappuccino coming at you from the Global Vision for Living Today. And you know, everyone needs to have a vision because the scriptures, life itself, your boss man will tell you that if we are not living with a purpose, then there is no vision. Our boss man will tell us if there is no intention for us doing anything good, guess what? Guess what? We are at the tinkling cymbal. We really don't have God at our best interest. Isn't that something? But right now, we are learning from the Global Vision for Living Today that without a vision, we perish. Without any form or fashion for wanting to be our best and do our best. Guess what? And we don't want that. So today, we are going to be covering how do I show God that I love him? How do I do that? What do I do? How do I show God that I love him? Now, we're not talking about just anybody, but we are talking about the God of the universe. That's who we're talking about. We are talking about the God of the universe. And aren't you so happy that you tuned in this morning? I know I am. How do I show God that I love him? How would I even do that? Well, we're going to right now talk about this definition of love. Because some of us have gotten this thing straight. We've got it all confused. We have gotten it just all mixed up. Oh, my God. What do we do? Somehow, we've gotten things mixed up. So, right now, I'm going to go over and explain what this thing called love even means. What is the definition of the biblical God? Well, one thing, the first four commandments of God's law, as given to the early Israelite nation, it really tells us how we are to treat God. How are we going to treat him? How are we going to love God? How do we treat this God that we're talking about? What is actually going on? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What in the world do we actually do? What is the definition of love? Well, God being our neighbor in the universe, at Jeremiah 12:14, this talks about this God who rules. And if we bring it up to the New Testament time, it shows that Paul tells us that just to have feelings of God is not enough. It just is not enough. We've got to go further than that. And now, isn't that interesting? Just to feel that you love God is not enough. Those feelings must follow up with actions if we are to be pleasing to our Creator God according to Romans 13. So, and now we have something here that most people did not know. They did not know that. They have no idea. You know, if you ask people, oh, my God, if they love God, if they cherish God, What do they think about God? What have they heard about God? God, they'll give you some gibberish. They'll give you something that they heard. They give you something that someone else has told them. But within itself, it does not render due justice on how to love, why you should love God, where you should love him, when. It does not say that. So you have a lot of people on God's death row. You know, I heard that. Yeah, and I never looked at it like that. Although they live, Jesus said, yeah, they live. So as we can say right now, when a person asks, well, how do I show God that I love him? Well, the scriptures automatically will tell us what to do and how to do it, when to do it. I heard someone say, oh, God is good all the time. And they're on their way to their own casket. They're on the way to a hospital bed. They're on the way to damnation, a self-made crucifixion state. They're on their way there because they do not know how to show God that they love him.
Good. How are you?
I can say anything. But when it gets
to me,
mute your phone.
Yes.
If you're going to be talking, mute your phone.
My
you
break.
Can still listen. If you're going to be talking, just go ahead and mute. Whoever you are, I hear a lot of background noise. Please,
yeah, my
let's not disturb the others that are on the line. Let's mute your phone,
Georgia,
if you have background status.
So
as I was saying,
906.
This question here.
6012.
Whoever is 906. Talking, when you mute your phone.
60. You got me mixed up now. 906-6012. 6012. So hard because I don't say my own. Yes.
So right now, to finish just this segment, our lesson, how do I show God that I love him? Well, number one, we're going to obey God. Number one, nothing else will matter. We're going to make sure also, number two, that we put God first in all we do. Well, you might say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? I never learned. I just heard about God. Which God are we talking about? Psalm 83:18 will actually show that. How do I do that? How do I show God that I love him? How do I show God? And I think we should talk about that before we go any further in anything. Let's talk again about this definition. The first four commandments of God's law tell us how we are to treat him. First four of those. So if a person doesn't know that, can they really say that they love God? Does it? And this is from the BibleStudy.org. This isn't Dr. Cupertino talking. This is from that particular website. So we see that loving God, according to BibleStudy.org, means that we are manifesting his commandments. When you manifest something, that comes from a cellular level. You're just not talking about it. You just don't feel that you love him. What is the feeling I feel that I love God? And we're not doing anything to keep his commandments. Oh, I don't care. You know, I used to go door to door with a lot of individuals. And they said, well, I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I give to my church. I don't hurt anyone. I'm not trying to maybe put someone in a bad place. All that does not count. Therefore, we see that loving God means keeping his commandments. And Paul tells us that to have feelings of love is not enough. Again, this is BibleStudy.org. It's not enough. You know, and I hear that, and then I look at people's actions, and I'm frightened. Because at one time, Satan said the same thing. But we see how he turned out. So according to BibleStudy.org, it says, we must follow up our feelings with action if we are to be pleasing to the Creator. How are you going to love him if you're not pleasing him? So this is why we're on this study topic today. I see Colonel Harrison have come on. Things are shaky here, so I don't know why it took so many, you know, a long time to get on. But Colonel Harrison, what do you teach your flock as a minister? How to show God that they love him?
Good morning, Dr. Compton, and listening audience. Certainly, Doc, as you've said, I've certainly been listening and just got unmuted, and just good to be online again. As you said, first, we have to obey God. Secondly, show God that that we love him, and we show our love for God by and through our actions. And then, we, as you said, you first, I believe, Romans chapter 13, and then you had mentioned the first six of the Ten Commandments, and it's all about loving God, putting God first in our lives. And the love of God, a heavenly love, is called agape love in the Greek, and it means loving God first, because God first loved us. And so that kind of love is spiritual, it's heavenly. It's not this fleshly love. It's not this carnal love. It's not this thing based on feelings, but it's based on a relationship that we have with Jehovah God through his son, Jesus Christ.
Right, and that's what it's all about. So how do you show God that you love him? First, we've got to come into, as you just took the words out of my mouth, a relationship. I'm not going to say that I love 10 dogs going across the street. I don't know anything about the dogs, never seen them before. Can't tell Satan even what their distinction is, what kind of dog it is. You know what? Paul said, be weary of ignorance. So I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say I love all ships that I see. Maybe never been on one or it looks good. You know what? Paul said that we be not ignorant. So how in the world are we going to show God that we love him and we don't know anything about him? Oh, I heard that. Oh, I think I heard that. Oh, somebody told me that. Oh, I'm fuzzy inside. The God that is recognized in Psalms 83:18, hallelujah, he don't play. He will give us an opportunity to show who we really are. But my God, when the rubber hits the wire and you got two or three self-made Satanists in your face, you got to go for God. You got to go for Zen. Then you're showing them and the world that you love God. What's going to be the outcome of those that do not love God, do not know God, and do not obey him? We covered that scripture last week. What is the outcome? I'm going to ask you, Colonel William Harrison, to define that. What is going to be the outcome, whether they believe it or not? No one cares who believes anything. It is God, the God from heaven, that has put his commandments in force. Those that are following him as called and chosen, they have an obligation to tell that. Then, the Bible says, and then you shall know them. You will know them. So God is no different. How do I show God that I love him? Well, first of all, wouldn't you agree they have to get to know God, study his word? Study his word. Find out which of his word to them, whether it makes sense or not. Whether it says King James Version, New King James Version, I didn't know they had that out. But Colonel, what is the solution for those that want to show God that they love him? Let's get serious with this. What is the solution for all that want to show God, not talk about him? Please. How do they show God? God is looking down. My father used to say, he's looking and he's booking. there is a book of life with those names in it that he has called and chosen to do his work. What is the solution, Colonel Harrison, for that?
The solution, and I guess I will speak in terms of reward. The reward for those of us who commit to love God, getting to know who God is, obeying God and serving God, is that God provides and takes care of us and our family in this life that we're presently living in. So it is a reward to the opposite of those who choose not to get to know God and obey God and serve God, to receive the reward of shelter, of food, of clothing, of jobs and not be homeless and so forth. The opposite of those who choose not to get to know God is condemnation or judgment. God will pass judgment upon those who choose not to find out anything or get to know nothing about him during this lifespan, whether we live 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. God created man to and for his purpose. So we have an obligation to get to know Jehovah God, who is the creator, and then follow his instructions so that we can live a life that is pleasing unto God in this thing, this place called earth, and this thing that we call life.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sadly, there are some that don't care anything about showing God that they love him. They don't care. They haven't seen him. They haven't felt him. They haven't touched him. And so where does this faith come in? Bible says, without faith, I go to bed at night. I know some of my relatives are going to be okay because I have faith that I've been holding them up in prayer. I am living the life that he wants. So that covering is on them. I don't have to worry. And if something comes along, they deserve it. God is still good. Thank you, God. But now let's kind of pass up on something right now that's important. You know, the ones that follow Jesus, I never thought of this. They were homeless. When he said, follow me, they got up and left. There's nothing in the word. You talk about showing God you love him. There's nothing in the word to say they ran back and had to tell this, had to tell that. Bible says, leave the ungodly alone. What else, how else can we say it? You show by your works who you are and what you are. Those people were homeless. I heard you say this a moment. Oh, yes, God will give you food. He'll give you this and that. They didn't even have
Hey, Tony.
They,
how are you?
Please.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut whoever that is out talking. I'm going to cut you off. Mute your phone if you need to talk. Whoever you are. I see two or three yellow dots here. I'm going to cut you off. You're not going to come on this radio show and disrespect those that really want to learn something. Don't do that. Get off the line or mute your phone and handle your business. But don't come on this line and try to handle it. This is not what this line is about. Those 11 were really starting out 12. Those people were homeless. I heard a preacher say they didn't know what they were going to eat that night, but they kept going. What they had on their back, that's what they had. They didn't have no two or three bedrooms and turned into a walk-in closet. And we can still name some of them today. The others were worthless. Thousands followed the Christ. Thousands, like they was doing him a favor. Flesh and blood may be dead in a few minutes. They had nowhere. The Bible says the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So I like to ask people when I talk to them. I was on the phone yesterday for an hour with a world-famous model that I'm hooking with someone else that's gorgeous, and Mom on the phone crying. This is not anything to play with. Just ask Trump. In fact, ask the one you voted for. Ask him. God is serious. And we get not only a reward. Some of us may not be looking for a reward for walking behind Christ in the Spirit. Everybody that turns around from evil and wickedness and encourages others, I personally don't have any to encourage. That's not my job now. But it's everyone's job to show God that they love him. Is it because he created heaven and earth? Oh, yes, you should. Is it because he created the first mother and father? Oh, yes, you should. Is it because your daughter ain't took a bullet? They deserve it. Hallelujah. And you know it. None of that has happened. Because somebody somewhere that has got to know God, not playing around, has took hold of that hand and said, God, without you, Jehovah, without you, I am nothing. I'm nothing. Son of Man had one, I don't even think he had two change of clothing. We need to really get real. If we are old enough to look out the door, we know what is happening. And we know we don't have a lot of time. You don't have, I don't have, we don't have a lot of time to show God that we love him. Every day to God is as 1,000 years. Who are we? Nothing. Can't get out of a bed on your own in the morning unless the Spirit hits you. Colonel Harrison, why do you think people also really need to get serious and show God that they love him? I mean, all of this, whatever they think they're doing, why is it important that we show God that we love him? I named a few. You named some.
It's important that we show God that we love because God is the creator of mankind. He creates all forms of life. Human life, animal life, plant life. God created all. So he's the creator. We can add that to our list. In addition to that, the Bible says that God's love, the essence of God's personal, the essence of God's nature, the essence of God's character is love in and of itself. And so as we first are to love God, Jehovah, our creator, we also are to love one another, humankind, our fellow man, our fellow woman, and our children. Love one another as God first loved us. So the essence that God created this universe, if you will, he created it in love. So without loving God, the creator, and without us loving one another, we can't exist and get along with each other in a peaceful life, in a harmonious life, and in a good life and a respectful life, because God has to be, Jehovah has to be the center of our love and our joy.
He most certainly is in the hearts and lives of others. But if we go all the way back, as you have expressed, And repeat all the things that this God has done, all the water you can drink, all of the problems that you can go to him and solve. What in the world would cause someone not to show God that they love him if they've already learned about him? Where would a person like that come from? Who's governing the lives of that person? I mean, how can you answer that, Colonel Harrison?
I answer that this way, Dr. Tina. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And
oh,
if we choose
God.
not serve God and love God, then we're serving the other, the enemy of God, who is Satan, his kingdom, the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death, the kingdom of sickness. So why not serve God, Jehovah, who gives life and life more abundantly, and beyond this life gives eternal life? So we have to choose which kingdom we want to serve, which God we want to serve in this universe that has two kingdoms, God who created everything, or the lesser person who is the enemy of God that's called Satan.
He's called Satan for a reason, because the Bible describes him as the great deceiver. But those with the true spirit of God, the Psalm 83:18 God, that doesn't happen. No. They're too smart for that kind of okey-doke. And when we think about this, now anything I say, I've heard it, and I've seen it proven to be true. Colonel Harrison, I don't know if you can get this one, but I will. Who and what does God call a murderer? Who does God call a murderer? And you know what he says about them. What constitutes someone as a murderer? Well, I thought it was if you pick up a gun and shoot somebody, run up behind him and stab him in the back or something like that. But as a minister, I know what you might say to the answer of what is a spiritual murderer. I read, I hope I'm right, that anyone that know about God through faith, how to walk, how to live, and do not share that. Some cold-blooded people on these streets now, and they are people of religion, and they coming back to tell it like it is. They claim to me that this is judgment time. Leave them alone. Already been judged by their actions. I said, oh, my God, you guys are something else. What would you call a murderer? Say you're walking with God and you have some unsavory people in your back. Oh, my God. I said, oh, I didn't know. What would you call a murderer? Could we actually call people running around saying they love God is a murderer? I'm not going back over here to that Bible definition page, but what can you say about that? Who can we call a murderer today?
Satan is a murderer. He's the deceiver. He's the liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and to try and capture God's people and deceive them and lead them away from God. So we have to know that the murderer is not all flesh. Sometimes when a person kills another person, a murderer is a demonic evil spirit called Satan, who has power to influence people to kill one another. So it's Satan, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. He is
okay.
The prince of this world.
I got
so
to cut you off.
We have to embrace him.
We have 60 seconds. So I'm going to have to cut you off. Let me tell you what another minister, a bishop, said, and I had not thought that. And the witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses, is the one that go all the way. A murderer is anyone that claims that they love God, want to be with God, that is not using their mouth to glorify God and to tell anybody they meet that you are dead although you live. That was how this thing is. We're going to go into a little bit more about this because it is certainly true. A murderer. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. Next week, how do I show God that I love him? Psalm 83:18, part 2. Make sure you have your Bible handy because we're going to use a lot of scriptures. You have been listening to Dr. Marcia Cupertino, host of the Global Vision for Living Today. Thank you.